Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this.
What the?
This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha.
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of The Podcast. I'll be the host of this here podcast, Ted Smith, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
In the bottom square, beaming in from Austin, he goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
What's going on, boys? Just got back from a bougie wedding. We've had a couple weeks off. I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's do this.
Well, Cobb had a couple weeks off. Matt and I were in here a couple weeks ago grinding it out last week. Beaming in from the desert, still got that Coachella smell, not a funk, but a nice one on him. Matt Comer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted. It's good to see you again.
You probably already heard him say something. He knows the show well. He knows it's the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I'd say one of our favorite guests, local comedian, runs the dope show, Tyler Smith.
Hey, glad
welcome to be back,
guys. I have such a hard time keeping quiet for that first part.
That's okay. I was just like, no, you get it. You actually are, we're actually all friends, and you know the show enough where I'm like, yeah, jump in.
Hell yeah.
Also, I'd like to say this, regional comedian. He is now a regional threat, soon to be national.
Hey, international.
There we go.
Yeah. You're going up to Canada, right?
I tour Canada. I like people to know that I am allowed into Canada. I go
took
all
me a while
up
to get that one back. I hear you.
Canada is really loosened everything, all the restrictions up with cannabis, and it is a great place for me to tour. Like, honestly, I've been trying to push hard in there. I'm going to Calgary next week. Laugh Stop, if you got any Calgary listeners in Alberta. Really excited about it. They have a law in Calgary where you can actually get consumption licenses and you can get like temporary vendor licenses for cannabis companies to sell weed in clubs.
Oh, that's what's up.
It's pretty wild, man.
And it's wild that Canada was almost behind us, because like, to me, when I think of weed, I think A, Amsterdam, B, British Columbia.
Right. They're pushing it, man. Now they even have like an 18-year-old limit for it. So it's like you can go as a teenager, go buy some weed. You hear listeners? You don't have to steal a Kia and smash it into a side of a business. You could just go visit Canada.
Well, I mean, it is kind of weird. It's like at the end of the day, I think tobacco is probably a more serious product than marijuana, but you're right. It's like, yeah, you could buy a pack of smokes at 18, but it's still like 21. And it's like, even with booze, it's like, look, we're letting kids at 18 go fight for the country. You can vote on the damn president. Like, I don't know. If they want to have a beer, let them have a beer.
Right. Amen. I love it.
Spark up that J, young man.
I'm not touring Canada to meet teenagers. I just want to point that out.
That's why he goes to Mexico.
I still haven't been. That's a joke.
All right. Tyler, what's new? I know Saturday is 420, which obviously when you have a following like yourself, it involves a lot of weed and stoners. Like, what's going on this weekend? I know there's got to be events planned.
Oh my God. So last year, we had 5 dope shows on the holiest of weekends for me. And this year we have 8 dope shows. 8 on the day, I think. Let me count them real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then 9 the day before. One more equaling 9. So we have 9 dope shows this weekend. It's huge. So many theaters. Eat'em Claw on Thursday. On Saturday is Seattle.
Wait, what is the dope show?
Oh my God, yeah. So the dope show is a stand-up comedy show that I've been producing for the last 8 years out of the Northwest, which has expanded now I'm in like 20 cities, I would say, I think, off the top of my head.
Wow.
2 countries, I think like 9 states. So I've been touring all around with this show. We do it so often now that sometimes I have a fill-in host. So
I was going to ask, there's no way you're hosting all those shows.
I know. I wish I could. I really wish I could, but I hired comics that kind of look like me and I just feed them some of my jokes and nobody really notices, dude.
So the dope show, right? Like comedians come up, do 5-10 minutes, then go get stoned and do another set. Which I should say, like, I've performed on a dope show before, but, like, I also smoke weed. So, like, it was a little different. But, like, the headliner, the first time I did it in Tacoma, like, that dude didn't smoke weed. I'm like, the second part was him just being like, I don't know how you guys are doing this.
It ravages people. It absolutely ravages people.
That's so funny. That was back in the day when we first started, we were like, I was figuring out how to do it the best way. And I learned that you can't have that extended high set because some people don't smoke weed and it's just a rambling. It's a crazy man rambling at this point, you know? So I've shortened up the second high set. So it's only 5 minutes high. And then there's an extended first set. Which is always great because I only choose dope comedians. They're all very funny, but the level of marijuana they smoke is different for each one. Some of the shows, I mean, I think one of the shows last week, we had nobody on the show smoked weed. So it was just like, oh man, it was chaos. Well, I think two of them shared a joint. It was the cheapest, dope show I think I ever had.
Well, I remember at one point we had you on and somebody broke free, like somebody smoked weed, a comic did a set, smoked weed, and then escaped the venue and you were chasing through a parking lot. So just for people who haven't been, like these shows get pretty crazy.
Some of these guys get really high and they get too afraid to come back on stage. That guy was terrified. That was Tom Carvey, Dana Carvey's kid, actually, which was really funny.
Which is also funny because, like, when I was doing them, like, I mean, you know, like, it was like the main thing for me was like, oh man, I gotta have another 5 minutes. And then to watch these guys that are like really good and like have such a strong stage presence. And then they get off that bus and it's like, I can't do this set. And I was like, nah, come on. No, seriously, I can't do this set. And I'm like, dude, you just crushed it for 20 minutes. Like, you're just a little stone. I don't smoke weed.
Weed will unravel that. It'll unravel years of talent.
The great equalizer.
Exactly. It's always a fun to watch, though. It's a blast either way, because even if they are stoned, then you're just, or if they're regular smokers, you might see two great sets, or you might just see how somebody who's an addict struggles sober. I'm just kidding. We don't condone that. the kids that are the guys on the show that don't smoke, or the guys and gals that don't smoke, when they get really blazed up, ooh man, it's a fun watch. It's never been a disaster, though. Nobody's mind has been broken on this show. I should point that out.
No. And I mean, for people that don't know the comedy world, like people having a few drinks or smoking a ball before they go on stage isn't that unheard of.
Not unheard of. It is.
Yeah. I mean, I'll leave the guy's name out of it because I'm not sure I don't think he drinks. He might still smoke. But I mean, when I was in Baltimore, like the first weekend, I got I'm the MC for all four shows. Right. And I go out there that first show of Friday and it's just brutal. And the comedian who's still a national comedian, like you would know his name. Like after that, he just pulls me aside and he's like, what do you do, man? He's like, you want to go smoke some weed? I'm like, at this point, I don't smoke weed yet. I think that's a bad idea. And he's like, well, you were reviewing your notes for 30 minutes. He goes, you kind of just bombed. You got like a laugh. But he's like, go, do you drink? I was like, oh, I love beer. He's like, all right, drink a beer. Like, will you chill out?
Loosen up. So you got to do something.
Right. He was like, you're so tense. The audience can feel it. He goes, I knew you were scared.
Yeah.
Damn, dude. Young Ted Smith.
That's so funny. I mean, that is something that the audience can feel from you. So, but it's, you know, even when these comics are super stoned and the anxiety is like really high up, everybody's kind of like more of an emotional support than like a feel or sharing in that anxiety, you know, like so many people in the audience will just be like cheering them on or you can do this.
That's awesome.
Yes. I mean, like, look, if I just paid to see a comedian And he just comes out and he's like, sorry, I'm way too stoned. I can't do this set. But like with the dope show, like it's already understood and built in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, nothing's worse than seeing a comedian or any performer just be like, you know, fucked up at the show or whatever.
Yeah.
You're like, oh God, this is, I didn't pay for this, but at my show, you did pay for that. So,
I mean, oh, Matt, help me out. He used to be the lead singer for Stone Temple Pilots.
Scott Weiland.
So I only saw, you know, RIP, but I only saw Scott Weiland perform like three times, but apparently those were good nights. And I was like, this guy is unreal, right? I saw him when, because he used to sing for what, Velvet Revolver too?
Yep.
Wow. Right. And I saw him on stage and I'm going on and on. Then I have other friends in the industry. They're like, I saw him at that same venue 2 years ago and he just stood there and played noises on a machine. And I'm like, oh, yeah. You never really think about, like, you hear these stories of people partying that hard. It's like, well, there has to be nights where they can't get it together.
Oh, for sure. That's my nightmare. That's like a total nightmare for me. Like, I've never experienced that, but it would be a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just standing there on stage, knowing now you've lost the audience and you're just that blazed or that drunk and just being like, what do you guys want to do?
I had a dope show in North Bend at the North Bend Theater. North Bend, shout out to them. Great group of people. They always fill it up. We had like 260 people at this dope show, and I brought a newer comic, which is what I always like to do. I like to give opportunities to younger comics. And so I brought out this kid that I saw at a competition, and he went on stage, and in his first set, he made some joke that was, I didn't hear it because I was in the green room, but like the, you know, bullet points was something about Trump, something about school shootings, and it was just didn't go over well. And the comics and I were all sitting in the green room just kind of chatting up, and then we just hear boos through the wall. And I'm like, are they booing? I like go out to the room, and it is like the loudest boos I ever heard. Dude, I have never seen like a whole room all in unison just boo this guy. I felt so bad for him, but I was, you know, I'm also, you know, a bit of a sadist, I guess. I have to admit to being that for hosting the dope show for so long. But when I just saw that, I started laughing because I knew that he had to go get high and come back out in front of this crowd that booed him off stage.
Oh, God, dude, live by the sword, die by the sword.
Oh man, it was so funny. Just like, all right, well, you guys didn't like him. Let's get him on drugs and bring him back out here. He's most afraid of your opinions.
Yeah, right? It's like you give new people opportunities. I'm sure you've heard a lot of quiet rooms, but I don't know that I've ever heard somebody get actively booed.
Actively booed. You never know.
That's
what you're going to get.
It's like 200 people.
Yeah, I promise I'll bring strong headliners, but every now and then I like to give a new guy a chance. And They you know, you never know what you're going to get. One of the new comics I had on the Tacoma show last month, there was two piles of joints that we had got from our latest sponsor, Translucency. Shout out to Translucency.
Nice.
They came into the green room and he brought me like a ton of joints, you know, as being like a thank you for the sponsorship and everything. And so we had a pile of infused joints and a pile of regular joints. And if you're not aware of what an infused joint is, it's
no.
A joint that has been soaked in oil or has oil within it to increase the THC content. Regular joint is just flour in the paper. Infused is flour and oil in the paper. It's basically you're dropping a shot in a beer is how I explain it to non-smokers. And, yeah, this kid grabbed one of the infused and he smoked it. And like, I thought I was going to, like, I, at that moment, I was like, I'm going to have to, I have to get a waiver for this show.
Oh, that's amazing.
Hold on. Before we go any further, Tyler, please give people the dates and the website. We didn't do that at the top because we've had you on so many times. We just jumped right into BSing.
Yeah. So it's just thedopeshow.com. There's a tour page on there. All the shows are listed right now. It's super easy. Everything's on there. There's a Canadian section at the bottom if you're Canadian. And then, yeah, all the shows are just listed on the website.
If you're one of those.
Or thedopeshow.com.
Say it again. Sorry.
WhoSmokesWeed.me is the extended name, or thedopeshow.com, if that's too hard to remember. I have both domains pointing to the same site. I've noticed an uptick in traffic once I got rid of the WhoSmokesWeed.me. Though funny, hard to remember.
Also, we did judge a contest for you, and I'm like, great experience. I would never do it again.
Oof. Oh man, you know the amount pressure. Of like the comics that like some of the comics that lost ruined our friendship.
Yeah. I was just like,
so yeah, I'm in the same boat. I don't do competitions anymore. I'm like, all right, this is I thought this would be fun.
Yeah, and like I don't know how Matt and Cobb felt, but at a certain point I'm just like, I guess, yeah, I can explain my answer to you, but that just seemed to piss them off more.
Yeah.
I was like,
you didn't have to say who you voted for, though, right? I didn't make you do that.
Oh, no, it was just afterwards, BSing. And they were just, a couple of them were just smart enough to start chatting us up. And then before I realized, I was like, we're in a real, you know what I mean? It's like when I used to coach sports, like I learned the hard way. Like, I don't know, just tell a kid he wasn't good enough.
Yeah, people wanted that jet ski, man.
Yeah, to explain the competition, I threw a dope comedy competition is what I called it, and we had a prize of $1,000 and a jet ski, and the jet ski was basically something that I had inherited that wasn't a very good jet ski, and you would probably need the $1,000 to fix it. But there was another cash prize if you didn't want it, and that jet ski, we did it 3 years in a row, and then nobody ever took the jet ski. By the third year, it looked so bad. It was like just been sitting in Seattle on the side of the street.
You're also, I would say, like, we know you from hanging out with you, but also you went to college with our own Taryn Daly from Daily Migs.
Yeah, that really... I felt like a real idiot that I didn't put that together, that she was the same Taryn that I went to college with. And when I saw her in the at the radio station, I was like, holy shit, what are you doing here?
That's awesome.
I was just going to say, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask. What are the Cougs doing next, man? You guys are kind of alone out there with Oregon State.
Oh man, I wish I could answer that. I don't know. Are we not doing good? I haven't seen anything Cougar related in a while besides the cheese.
That Cougar Gold is delicious. No, it's just funny. Like, as a transplant, like, obviously I went to more Husky games as I'm wearing a Michael Penix t-shirt, but like the Huskies are in Seattle. Like, I didn't really have an issue with the Cougs. It's just like, they don't win a ton. Seems like the Huskies care more about beating up on Oregon. And then when the Pac-12 dissolved, like, the Cougs just went in hard on the Huskies. And I was like, I get you're angry, but like, the Pac-12 f***ed this up on their own. Like, you can't just blame the Huskies.
Hell yeah. I have no idea. This is all new to me. I loved the college and Coug experience when I was in college. But when I graduated, I never watched another game or went back to it.
I totally get that. That's how I am too.
Yeah. I'm glad they're doing great though. Are they doing great? Is that what you're saying? Or are they doing bad?
I know my guy.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing bad. Was like a funny joke that it was just the Pac 2 now. And it, like, they're looking for a conference. They're still going to play the Apple Cup. But it's like, sorry, Cougs. And I know there's Cougs that listen to this podcast. Like, just join the Mountain West and get it the fuck over already.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You freaking idiots.
You ever talk with Tyler Smith?
You got to drop my name after that.
All right, if you want to send the hate mail, he lives in Northgate. I'm just kidding.
Greenwood. No, I live in Northgate.
Oh, damn it. The dopeshow.com, correct? Or just dopeshow.com?
The dopeshow.com. Dopeshow.com takes you to another show. It's a big thing.
And you have 9 shows coming up this weekend for the Stoner Holiday.
Hell yeah, man. Really excited for it. All over Washington. And then one of them's in Canada. So if you're anywhere in Washington, there's going to be a dope show near you for sure. We got Spokane, Tacoma, Seattle, Bremerton, Enumclaw, Everett, and Chehalis.
Damn.
Yeah.
You're covering the state. Right.
They're going to be all over the place. I'll be at the Enumclaw, Tacoma, and Everett one. Not that, you know, if you're going to pick, I would definitely choose one of those three.
I'm not seeing Tacoma on your site for what it's worth.
So the Tacoma and the Spokane ones, you just click on the logo of the club.
Gotcha.
And it'll take you to their calendar page.
Cool.
All the Comedy Club dope shows are on the Comedy Club's pages. But
are you still with Tacoma Comedy Club and like Spokane Comedy Club?
Yeah. They're my crew, man. Those clubs are owned by a organization called BARC, and BARC has been expanding like crazy. They got like 7 clubs now. Still waiting for them to open another one in a more enlightened state.
All right, let me ask you this. I took a friend that had never been to a comedy show like 2 or 3 months ago, and I took him down, not Tacoma Comedy Club. I know they're your people, but what's the other one that the
Nate Jackson,
super funny.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's a black comedian I love. Now, I know going into it that there's not going to be a ton of white people at this show.
Mm.
So it's on a Thursday night. You're a professional comedian. You tell me if I'm overthinking this. I buy 2 GA tickets. Right. And I've seen Tony do some crowd work. And like we walk in and the woman's like, just follow me. And I even say something like, we just have GA tickets. And she's like, no, follow me. And they put us at a 2 top. Like on the right, like stage right. And like, I just elbow my buddy and I go, I feel like this is a setup. Like, we're the only 2 white guys on the stage. And like, I think these tickets cost more.
If you pay the elevated price, they're going to put you closer to the stage for sure.
Right. My theory
but
is
you paid the cheaper ones and got the elevated price seats. Oh, no. Well, they might just not have sold them, to be honest. Like, so they're just like, well, these seats are VIP. We only have 3 and there's GA right next to them. I've been there before too.
All right. Yeah. So I was like, I mean, it just like, it honestly felt like a setup. And then one comedian,
because you were white.
Yeah. Cause one comedian said something and he just stops and looks at me and my buddy, and he's about the same size, white dude, beard. And he goes, I'm not f-ing with you 2 white boys tonight. And then he just looks over next to us like, hey, brother.
Oh, man. Was your buddy also bald?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
No.
That's why I was like, it's fine. Like, I like the comedian. Like, I was pumped to go see him, but I was just like, this could be a. So we overthought it. It wasn't a
That's
setup.
That's really funny. Yeah. No, I mean, it's, you never know where you're going to seat exactly, but. Maybe they did set you up. This could be. You know, the thing I love about that club is they like really photograph every event, like almost to a fault. So if you can look at their timeline, you can see probably like 100 pictures of you if you go there.
Oh, my God. I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah. That's what I was like. I always make the joke about that's not the club you want to cheat on your wife with. They post all the audience. Everybody gets on the website.
So, all right. So it was Tony. What's it? Tony Baker.
Tony Parker? Baker.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah. So I was like, we got to go to the show. And like in my buddy's defense, he had never been to a comedy club and I probably oversold it. I was like, hey, I bought GA. We should be fine. But if we're off on the rail, just heads up.
Yeah.
And then like when they sat us there, he's never been. And he's like, is this a setup? I'm like, it's fine. And he's usually a pretty confident dude. It was one of the rare times I was like, oh, he's a little thrown off.
Yeah, man. People get really nervous about sitting in the front for comedy shows. They always like, I think a lot of people assume the comedian's going to try and talk to you, But most shows are so well rehearsed, like depending on who you're going to go see. I feel like Tony Baker, who doesn't, I don't know if he does a lot of crowd work, but I feel like it's a very safe spot. You know?
He does a little crowd work. I will say, I never thought about the name Tuck Willa. He just came out and did 10 minutes on. Oh man, hilarious. We're in the Tuck Willa. He's talking, and he just kept making fun. I mean, he had just come up with it, but like to this day, I look at my buddy and be like, "Don't mess around down there in the Tuck Willa." Sometimes I drop that joke on the men's room, and I realize, like, A, nobody was at that show. B, KSW doesn't say, "Hey, we're big fans of Tony and are going to go to that club." But I was like, it was such a good joke.
Classic Tony Baker, man. I love it when a comic comes to town and tries to make fun of it a little bit. I always try and do that myself. It's a great way of breaking the ice, you know?
I respect when a comic takes a town head on and tells it like why it sucks.
Yeah. I've been trying to think of ways to break the ice in Calgary. I don't know anything. I really don't know anything about Calgary.
Go Flames.
Go Flames.
They're famous for the Stampede.
Right. Yeah. Stampede. The hockey team, the Flames.
just ask us, dude.
Yeah, we're Calgary guys, dude.
All right, cool. Hell yeah. When I think of Calgary, I think of you guys.
Oh yeah, many do. Many do.
Their AHL affiliate is the Calgary Wranglers. They play at the same arena as the Flames.
Okay. All right.
He's like, oh, none of this is useful.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all chipping in. We're like, we got it.
I don't know if you guys understand how little sports I watch. I'm going to be there like, flame on, guys.
Heard y'all are a bunch of flamers. Yeah,
exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right.
I was trying to be comical or topical when I was in Vancouver last, and I made a joke about how we're going to get we're going to light it up in here like a Canadian church. I don't know if you guys have, it's my only bit of news that I had about Canada recently was that they've been burning churches like crazy up there.
Yeah.
Did not go over well to a point where I was like, are you unaware?
Was it like North Bend? Did you get booed?
No, I didn't get booed. I got the Canadian silence.
Which is judgment.
That's a boo in Canada.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Well,
I'm excited. I love Canada. It's been great.
You know what's funny? I still got to go up there.
Oh, my God. So the place that I do my show at in Vancouver is called the Fox Cabaret. Happening on 420 today or this Saturday if you want to go. And right next to it, the last time we went, somebody sent me a news article saying that Canada had decriminalized all drugs, so you can have up to 2 grams of anything, you know, party city. All right. Now so I'm like, well, that's great, but I don't know any drug dealers in Canada, so I'm just going to go do my show and just be a regular citizen. But when we went up there, right next to the venue is this place called a Magic Mushroom Dispensary. And that was the store that they had featured in the article, is this is one of the places that you can buy stuff from. And I like, you know, I was like, oh my God, it's right next. It's like literally one block away. So I went down and I checked it out, and it's a they call it a magic mushroom dispensary, but the billboard outside of the store listed every drug. Like every drug was on this sign, like LSD, peyote, ketamine, mescaline. I ran out of ideas for whatever else is on there, but it was like a whole list of all these drugs. And I'm like, oh man. So I check it out. I go inside there and I'm like, can I buy stuff from here? Are you guys really selling everything outside? And he's like, oh yeah. You just got to be a member of our dispensary. And I'm like, ah, crap. But he's like, no worries, though. You can just sign up right now if you want. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I'll fill out that form. I'll sign up. And but before we get started, like, I'm not even Canadian. Is that okay? And he's like, it's totally fine. Just fill out the form. I'm like, hell yeah. So he gives me the form, and all it is a list of rules. And then the last 3 questions was, what's your name, what's your email, and what's your medical reason for needing mushrooms? And I'm like hovering over that question, and the guy just leans over the counter, seeing me hover over it, and he goes, "You can just skip that one."
That's awesome.
I mean, so look, I don't want to just sit here
talking about cocaine.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's my other question. I mean, look, Portugal did it, but I did not know that was real in Canada. But like, I mean, most like psychedelics, like mushrooms, sure, you can know what cyanacids or cabenzes or whatever. But like, is there just like, I'll take this $15 hit of acid, sir? Like, how do they sell it? Like, outside, like, pretty I only much. Know people being like, yeah, we had some at Fish. It was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how the LSD was being distributed. I know the mushrooms came in like regular mushroom or chocolate form. They had DMT pins that you could buy. Like they pretty much had anything.
Do they have like crack? Like, could you just buy crack?
So I bought cocaine, but I bought the cocaine leaf. So that's what they don't have powder cocaine. They have just the leaf, the plant.
You can buy like legit coca leaves. Dude, yeah, that's wild.
Legit coca leaves. And
I'm reading here. It's a 3-year trial in which everything is not illegal.
Yeah. Trying it out. See how it goes. Portland didn't like it. It didn't work in Portland. So we'll see how it goes in Vancouver. They're a little bit more civilized.
The problem is, because I've looked at the Portugal one a lot, like the first year and a half, I don't know if it was 2 years, there was a massive spike in drug use. Hell yeah. Now, over the years, it's kind of gone down. And it's kind of like, I don't know.
Everybody's having like, fun.
Yeah, it'd be like going to a town that's never had alcohol, and then the four of us show up with a keg. Like, those people are going to have the time of their lives and be like, we should do this every night. But then after a while, they're going to be like, nah, this isn't as cool.
Yeah, that first hangover, you're like, I'm out.
Yeah, and also, like, why are the four of us together in a random town in Utah?
Right. Yeah, I'm excited for them. I've always been an advocate for legalizing everything, or at least decriminalizing it. More for like just safer use, especially with like how everything is coming with a little bit of fentanyl in it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. It's hard to spike a straight leaf. So I'm like, let's just do it legit. See how it goes.
All right, we're talking to Tyler Smith.
God damn it. He's out of
Damn, dude. Damn, FBI, if you're listening, just let him know that was Tyler Smith with an S.
Used to be in Northgate. Tyler. Host of the Dope Show and regional suit or international touring comedian.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for reminding them.
God, dude, Tyler, you're going to prison, bro.
I know. Ah, fuck. Right after the plug.
All right, my last question for you, for the four of us, is like 420 is a thing. Like, I don't know. Do people celebrate? People are like, well, if you smoke weed, is it that big of a deal? And it's like, well, I love drinking beers on the weekend, but I still go out for St. Patrick's Day.
Hell yeah. No, I mean, that's what it is. It's just like a collective or a gathering of people of similar mindsets. Like, everybody there is there to have a good time. They want to find a place that they can go and be high at, and it's like, you know, almost expected. It's totally normal. Whenever we start the show, we always go, who's high in here? And everybody's like, ah, ha, ha. Most of them are more like, eh.
But, did we tell them?
Right? Is this a trap?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, 420 always brings out the biggest crowds for me. It's just, it's my Christmas for sure. I'm like, it's funny. Next year, we're already looking at the calendar to see what it's going to be like next year. And 420 is on Easter Sunday, 2025. So wow. We'll have an Easter themed.
I mean, it's not like ham tastes worse once you're stoned.
Exactly. Exactly.
Have your Easter. Dude, Easter's just in March.
Next year, it's on 420.
That's wild.
I know. We got a solar eclipse this year. Next year, we get a 420 Easter.
I never realized how much I like hard-boiled eggs.
I'm going to be wearing pastels. I'll tell you that much.
All right. Let's take a break here. We'll come back with some emails. What's Matt and in the Cop topic? What's that?
Can I smoke here on camera?
Yeah. Smoke more.
F- fucking home. No.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Tyler Smith.
Got him.
Thanks to our sponsors after that last break. Men's Room IPA. It's delicious. You can find it in a lot of places. Also, I finally had the Ole's new beer brought, which is good. And, of course, a special shout-out to our friends at San Juan Salsa. There was no reason to say salsa like that. I apologize.
Put a little flavor on it.
Right. Oh, yeah. San Juan Salsa. All right, Mr. Cobb, do we have some emails?
Hell yeah. Hey, Cobb, thinking about the Cobb topic for the week, and the main one I think of is air travel. Prior to the jet age, we had piston engine planes like the Douglas DC-3, Boeing Stratocruiser, and Lockheed Constellation, which could carry between 20 to 100 people. Then comes Seattleite Joe Sutter and his band of merry men referred to as the Incredibles, who created the Boeing 747 while the factory was being built around them. The new plane could carry 300-plus people, and so began the era of air travel that was within reach to the masses. Incidentally for us, plane nerds, does it show? The aptly named City of Everett is on display at the Museum of Flight in Seattle and well worth a visit with a Concorde. There are others that come to mind, like mobile phones, which were thousands of dollars when they first came out, that can now be had for $39 from a local 7-Eleven. Photography was an expensive hobby when it was first made available. Now nearly everyone has a 30-plus megapixel camera in their pocket. LARPON comes, Aaron from Melbourne, Australia, where the podcast needs a corporate box of the next Australian GP.
Yeah.
All right, real quick, shout out to Aaron. He bought me some cricket balls when he was over here. Tyler, he's been emailing the men's room for years, right? And he'd always send like Tim Tams and like candies. So he's finally over here and he works. And I'm like, bring some cricket balls. He's like, all right.
Cricket balls, is that a treat?
Well, no, just like I like cricket, but I don't know anywhere else like in America to go actively find one.
Right.
But then randomly, like a few days ago, he sent me a tuxedo shirt, which they're stupid, but you know, it looks like it's a t-shirt. It looks like you're wearing a tuxedo. Yeah, so yeah. I was like, I've always wanted one. So I was like, Sunday, I'm going to wear it on stage at the Muckle Shoot. But what I forget is after we leave the Muckle Shoot, and you know this because you do stuff on stage, Matt, you would know from working at the station, like at the Muckle Shoot, I'm f-ing the Ted Smith, right? Like signing autographs, I'm chatting, I'm taking pictures.
Hell yeah.
But then after the event, like we go to a bar to get some snacks with another mutual friend of ours. And I'm like, oh, I'm just kind of half drunk guy wearing a f-ing tuxedo t-shirt. Like jokes aren't hitting as funny.
You gotta work a little harder in a tuxedo shirt. Yeah, right.
It's like, dude, it's Sunday at 5:30. What are you doing?
Can I just a shout out to your listener? I'm not used to having listeners to a podcast because I also do a podcast called Meet in the Middle. And our listeners only write us when they are like blackout drunk, and like it is the most incoherent messages that we get. It is just like an orc screaming at us through voicemail, and we're like, "What is? I don't even know what to say to this." So that was a very concise and well written.
Yeah. Well, Tyler, we've been doing this a long time, and we get some of those too. For sure. I don't let the boys know anymore. I consider myself a professional email screener. So
you did
only the good ones get through.
I love it.
Speaking of, thanks, Ted. You taught me a falling knife has no handle, but it can still cut your leg when it hits the ground. Could have been a lot worse. And there's a photo attached to this that I'm scared to open. Risky click of the day. Here we go. Oh, nice. Okay, not too bad. Not too bad. Little tiny stab wound for Carl. Thanks for writing in.
Risky click of the day sounds legit risky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. I was like, is this dude about to have a knife through his tibia? Like, what are we looking at here? I mean, just the wedding I was at this weekend, I saw a girl like slice the webbing between her fingers and another girl get stepped on by a heel and break her toe. Like, there's some gnarly injuries out there. All right. Sorry, Tyler. I forgot you're high. Egg tips.
And he travels to other countries to do drugs.
Professionally.
Was that Smith is the last name? God damn it. They trust me at the border. Yeah. To the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
And I enjoy sunny side up eggs, and I learned to add a tablespoon of water to the pan. And with the egg in the pan, I cover it, and the water steams and cooks the top of the egg. I've seen people use a mini torch to cook the top of the egg. Same kind of torch you'd use on a creme brulee. Quick NASCAR facts. Short track is less than 1 mile long. Speedway is 1 to 2 miles long, and Super Speedway is 2+ miles long. The Northwest Truck Mechanic, Riker.
All right, that's
actually kind of helpful.
All right,
it is. When I was like, I don't know, what's the difference between a speedway and a super speedway?
The mileage.
It is, and yeah, and trust me, I went down another wormhole and started watching the IndyCar series on Netflix, and I'm like, that Texas Motor Speedway, that f***er's big.
Everything's bigger, Ted.
Man, all right, that's pretty good. Let's check in with what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Before we get to what's mattening,
hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Check out what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Before we get to what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Check out what's mattening.
All right. So we got that email about the eggs because I was fascinated with Tyler. Can you crack an egg with one hand?
Man, if I'm trying to show off, I'll do the one tap and then open it with my hand. Type of thing, but do you mean
you can
like
do that?
Crush it open and yeah.
Well, okay. Well, you gotta tap it. You can't just crush it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not like, you know, Gaston over here, just like
oh, deep cut reference.
Cobb, you weren't here last week. I was merely saying that I opened them with one hand, and Matt was like, "No way!" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Where'd you pick it up?" I'm like, "I don't know," but obviously, I've worked on it long enough that I could just do it.
Yeah,
yeah. It big totally hands, blew my mind.
Hands. Yeah.
Oh, I know, because I saw Matt's like just tweeting out. I'm like, yeah, boy, he can actually do it with one hand now.
Yeah, making progress.
Also, I like that guy was like, yeah, you know the torch like you use for creme brulee, and it's like we're pimping 420. It's the same torch you use for dabs, people.
Exactly.
Exactly. So, yeah, I went to Coachella this weekend. We talked about that last week as well. And I had a great time. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I didn't do any real drugs. I wouldn't say that I did. I wouldn't say that I didn't if I actually did, you know? So, but I was just very high the whole time. And... had a great time. I mean, it was just a very interesting place. Like the crowd was, I guess I was thinking about it when I was looking at the pictures afterwards. I was like, would have been nice if the crowd had more light up stuff collectively for after the sun went down. But it was a, other than that, you know, I had a great time. I checked out a lot of music that I wouldn't have otherwise heard about, both in the lead up to it and during it. But still, my top three bands were all on Saturday. My top three performances were all bands that I already knew on Saturday. It was the Aquabats, who are just fantastic live. If you ever get a chance to see them do it, it's so cool and so fun. That was the first band we saw on Saturday. Then we like saw other stuff, and then Sublime reunited with Brad's son, Jacob Knoll, on guitar and vocals and crushed it. Like he's in his 20s or something, and he was, you know, he's a musician. He has his own projects that he's worked on up until now, but you know, he just came out to a crowd of, you know, who had a lot of thousands. I mean, it's like over 100,000 people were at the festival, but I don't know how many were at the stage at that point, but it felt like a pretty packed show. But that's a huge crowd for somebody who I don't know how big of crowds he'd played to before. So he crushed it and didn't seem nervous at all. And was just like loving being up there. So that was super cool. And then, yeah, you can see my Coachella No Doubt shirt. They were so good, man. That was blew my mind. I didn't realize how much I liked No Doubt over the years, you know, but like just seeing them, you know, it was their first show in like 9 years or something. I think there was the number, and it was like, you know, they crushed it. I didn't see any rust. Like, I was curious how these, you know, big comeback shows for No Doubt and Sublime were going to be. And yeah, everybody did really good. The songs were, you know, a lot of fun, and
they practiced.
I loved it.
I mean, Sublime doesn't surprise me just because they've still been touring just with Rome, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, I see that, but like, you're right, No Doubt, like, we know about Gwen Stefani, but like, I don't know what the other people in that band have been up to. Like, have they stayed on point? Are they still walking through spider webs? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's wild seeing bands from like that are really old, you know. Like, we saw I saw Blue Oyster Cult recently. Like, you know, really old band, and it was funny because the old dudes, I don't know their names, but one of the guitar players, when he was gonna do his like solo or whatever, they brought out this younger guitar player who just kind of like cucked him with his own song because his hands don't work any well, you know. He's just like, he's too old. So this young guy comes out and finishes it, and he just stands behind him like, hell yeah. Yeah, you give it to him.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like that
That is the philosophy. Best version of that term I've heard in a long time. Yeah, play it.
But there's that like philosophy. Cobb, you're smart. What's it called? The ship, if you keep taking parts and replacing it with
I'm not sure.
I can't remember the name of the ship, but it's this whole theory about if the ship parts, if you keep replacing each part, and eventually it becomes a brand new ship because every part's been replaced, is it still the same ship, you know?
Yeah,
that's how I feel about these bands, because it's like, is this really, I feel like I'm paying the primo price for
yeah, totally, covers. For none of the original musicians.
Yeah, dude,
I mean, Leonard Skinner still tours every year, and I don't think any of the original guys in it. It's like their kids and like random other dudes. They're just like, ah, f*** it, we're Leonard Skinner.
At a certain point, it's kind of a cover band. I'm with you, Tyler.
Yeah, I saw what's it called, band, the Static X. X was, I was a big fan of them in high school. They were kind of like a metal band from like the early 2000s. Bought tickets for my girlfriend and I to go. I was very excited. I'm like, I didn't even know you guys were still touring. And my girlfriend goes, you know, Wayne Static died like 10 years ago. Like, you mean the most like iconic singer, this guy whose voice you cannot replicate, is dead, and they just, who's playing him? And it's this dude who is from another band, but he dresses up like a robot version of Wayne Static. He's a robot.
He does the hair?
The hair is the main thing.
Dude, what was that movie with Mark Wahlberg? That's what that was about.
Rockstar.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, he gets recruited into that band.
I mean, Journey did it, right? That kid was like singing karaoke or whatever, doing their songs, and he was so good at it. The Asian dude, they were like, let's just hire him.
I feel like when the lead singer leaves, it's over. That's my mark, I think.
That's how.
Oh, don't come at our heads, Van Hagar, Van Halen fans. Matt, we will talk a little more next week. I'm still jealous you actually went to that. Did you go see my guy in the late night tent?
So that was the thing, is like, we didn't do any real drugs and didn't stay super late any of the nights. And he was the last artist. I think he went on at like 11:55, which in like, and that's the last one. So it felt like an early festival to me. I feel like, you know, I've seen sets start after midnight on multiple occasions, but the last one there was like before midnight it started, and I think it went till one, but yeah, we were long gone.
That's fair.
I caught it on YouTube. It looked good. It was like better views than I would have had there. Like, I enjoyed being there, knowing what that stage looked like, felt like. That was where Grimes had her like technical difficulty.
I was gonna ask if you saw that.
I was there for that one. Yeah, by coincidence, we were there getting food. They had pizza wrapped in bao, like dumplings, and that was like the best food I think I had all weekend.
Dumplings.
Yeah, like pizza dumplings. And then like I'm like, oh, this is Grimes. That's like a big deal. I've never listened to her songs, but like she's, you know, famous. I recognize that name, and we'll see what's happening. And I didn't know what was happening. I was like, oh, these songs sound okay, I guess. It's not really my thing. I wasn't really paying a ton of attention. And then she'd be like, we're having technical difficulties. Sorry. And she'd be like in the middle of a song, she'd be like, and like stop it. And then just be like, this is not my fault, guys. I just want you to know up here, I'm not good at math. You know, my bad. Or not my bad. You know, it's a lot going on. We're going to try this again. And I was just like, damn, there. I mean, there was probably 40.
Bob and I actually saw her once years ago at the Paramount.
Really?
So, yeah.
Yeah, she's. Yeah.
Some influencer explained what happened. Like, she has her DJ setup that was pre-set up for her, but when she like switched the songs, it sped up the tempo. Because like it was just the way the thing was. I don't know. The machine works. I don't know. Some like DJ.
She'll be fine. Like, I'm not gonna feel bad. Yeah, all right.
I heard she didn't handle it well.
I heard she was cursing while Matt was trying to eat pizza dumplings. Matt, I think it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
Okay. I feel like, you know, in light of Tyler coming on the show and the 420 shows coming up, I'm going to go with one that I think we all have a little personal experience with. I've noticed sometimes that when you are in altered states or when you're high, that these seemingly like... I don't know, these synchronicities happen, like crazy coincidences that just don't seem possible. They don't really happen to you sober, but sometimes in those states, you're just like, how is this even possible? Or is this real life? So I'll tell a quick story about one that happened to me. And then, we're going to move forward with the Cobb topic, which is going to be like, basically what seemingly inexplicable thing happened to you while you were f***ed up. That's the Cobb topic. Feel free to email us, email@thepodcast.com, or hit us up on Twitter. So for me, I just, at one point, we ate edibles up in Bellingham. This is like when I was probably, you know, 23 years old, whatever. I just moved up there, and we went to Bob's Burgers and Brew downtown, and we're sitting there, like, just baked out of our minds, can barely, you know, order. And like, we order food from the waitress. She brings our food over. It's just me and my friend and business partner at the time. And she sets all the food down, and I grab the ketchup, like just a standard Heinz bottle of ketchup. And of course, like this whole time, we're trying to be discreet, not get noticed, just sink into our chairs. I grab the ketchup, and for some reason, it just exploded all over the table, all over me, all over like the back of like the headrest next to us. And I was just like, how on, like, what could have possibly, like, I didn't squeeze it. I didn't do anything. It just popped. It just popped all over. And of course, attracting tons of unwanted attention to us. The entire restaurant turned. The waitress was like super flustered. It was really awkward to clean up because you're just covered in ketchup. So anyway, what seemingly inexplicable thing has happened to you while you're baked or otherwise out of your mind? Boys? It was so stupid, but it was just like, God damn it.
Man, I'm trying to rack my brain on what would cause that ketchup bottle to explode.
I know. Dude, yeah, are we all? It might have been Jesus, dude. I don't know. But, yeah.
Man, I don't know about seemingly inexplicable, but I do have a really funny story about how, well, it's not really funny, just a funny thing that happened when we were, a bunch of us were very high on mushrooms, and we were experiencing the views on the peninsula over in the Olympic rainforest. We did a hike through the, like, the moss something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, like the Ho rainforest?
Like the Ho, yeah.
Yeah, 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 there were some hoes there. And we...
hoes and hoes.
Yeah. We were on the beach, and my buddy and I, we were all three of us. It was my buddy Paul and my buddy Sung. Paul and I are both like 6'2", and Sung is like 4-8. So the three of us sitting on the beach, and there was this sea foam that was like on the waves. It was just this really nasty thing that happens on ocean coasts sometimes. I think it's like just like somebody just pissed in there, but it was like so much foam. Like it was a lot of foam. I don't know what that is. I think it is piss. But this wave went out and it was coming back in, and it was all that foam. It was like a 6-foot wall of that foam was just coming out of nowhere, and we all noticed it. And Paul and I turned around and we jumped over this tree branch that we were all sitting on, like this huge tree stump. And we were running, and then we turned back to see Sung, who's just, you know, tiny. He had just flopped over the top of the fucking the tree stump, and this wave of sea piss just falls over him.
That's awesome.
So gross. To be really high and covered in that stuff, I felt so bad for him. I felt so bad for him.
Oh, yeah, that's horrific.
I mean, I don't know. You know what's, I don't know what's good or bad. The first thing that comes to mind is a crazy stuff Cobb and I have done. Like, I don't even think we were that altered, but like, when you're in the middle of desert, of Burning Man in the desert, and like, I guess it must have been Saturday. Anyhow, Cobb had left our camp and was out doing stuff, and I was like, yeah, I'll catch up with you later. But keep in mind, we have no way of getting a hold of each other, and all I'm wearing is a cowboy hat, pink glasses, and a Santa jacket that doesn't close all the way. And like, as I'm driving by these people, they're like, Santa, and throw a grape. I catch it like in stride, and like get to the corner, and Cobb like comes cruising by, and he's just like, what's up, Santa? I'm just like, how the f*** did you find me? It's like, I don't know. This just happened. I'm like,
the force.
Oh. Right.
Matthias, anything spring to mind?
Yeah. So, God damn it. Well, yeah. It doesn't matter. Statute of limitations is probably up. We're on acid in Idaho Falls, which is not a state that looks kindly.
That's terrible.
On those sorts of things. But we're having a great time by the river, laughing our ass off. It's a great sunny afternoon. It was awesome. And my girlfriend's feeding me carrots. And she goes, you know, you can bite through a human finger with the amount of force it takes to bite through a carrot.
Yeah, you know that.
Jesus Christ.
Tell me she lost a finger that day.
Don't like it. That first one. No, you're f***ing with me. We were playing it cool in this small Idaho town all day. Until that moment. That's when I was like, what the fuck, man?
Does it gross you out that you couldn't eat carrots anymore?
It took me a minute. I didn't let her feed me anymore the rest of that day. I had to eat them myself. That was the end of that little romantic riverside gesture.
I will also say it's not just when you're altered. Like this year, driving over to Montana, I told my buddy after we woke up in Spokane, I said, look, I'll drive through Idaho like you always drive. Now, Tyler, you got to keep in mind, I do own a car now, but I mean, it had been like 19 years since I had owned a car. Then I'm driving his car, and we're like, I don't know if you ever drive through Idaho. It's terrible. They're always working on the highway. Like, it's like one lane. Cars are zipping by you at like 70 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm white knuckling it, but like, he's just kind of sitting there. So I'm trying to play it cool. And then we stop at this rest area or spot in Montana when we get over there. And again, I'm driving, so I'm completely sober. But this guy comes up to me and he's just like, Ted Smith. And I'm just like, what? Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I'm been sweating in the car. My buddy's just like off on his phone. I'm just like, what? And he's like, no, man. And I'm like, oh, hey, you listen to the show? Thanks. And he's like, no, I know you. I know you through like Taryn and Brad. I just saw you there a couple weeks ago.
That's so funny.
To this day, this was almost a year ago. Taryn and Brad have no idea who, and I keep describing the guy, and I'm like, no, I think he used to work with Brad. So, like, I wasn't altered, but I'm like, did that happen?
Is this real life?
Yeah, right.
So embarrassing when you like think somebody's recognizing you and then they're like, no, I'm just a friend.
Right, I just grew up with
brutal, dude.
Now your fly's unzipped.
Right. Like, no autographs today. I'm really stressed out about driving right now. I'm normally not used to driving myself.
Damn, that's good.
That reminds me of a story when I was I went to see Marilyn Manson at the Showbox, and my buddy and I bought tickets for his birthday for him, and we like took a bunch of Molly and a bunch of mushrooms, doing a little hippie flip, and we timed it perfectly so when our Uber dropped us off at the Showbox, that's when the drugs were gonna kick in. And we did it perfectly. The drugs were very much kicking in as we were walking through security, but we noticed that everybody there was dressed like a nerd, like had like nerd glasses, button-up shirts. And I'm like, it's just Seattle. I don't know what's going on. But we walked to the entrance and they're like, I think you guys are at the wrong show. This is the Geek Squad meetup.
The
Manson show is at the Showbox Market. So I was like, fuck. I had to call another cab, and I was like, I'll call this, or my buddy, he was like, hey, I'll pay for the cab because you paid for this one. He calls an Uber, and the Uber driver is a stand-up comedian named, his name was Chris Nolan. And he looks back and he goes, Tyler. And I was like, did I order this Uber? And he's like, no, Tyler Smith. And I'm like, oh, you recognize me? And he's like, it's Chris.
I know you.
And I was like, oh, this is a bad time for us.
It's a real bad time for us to catch up, bro.
Right. Just like,
yeah, I don't know if I can handle this.
I also like for him, like, aside from the fact that you guys were on drugs, the transition that he's witnessing, like, yeah, we're going to hit the Geek Squad meetup and then maybe go hit a little Marilyn Manson. He's like, what is this guy into? Dude, he's got his foot in every world.
Exactly. Broad. We have broad taste.
Yeah. All right. TheDopeShow.com. Tyler Smith. Yeah. Anything else you need to pimp?
Yeah, just TheDopeShow.com. Check it out. Happening all over the States and in Canada. You can check out my other podcast, Meet in the Middle. It's not nearly as good a quality as this one, but it is a fun one.
All right. Where'd you get that awesome pen?
Pen? Oh, these pens are from Translucency. Really great new cannabis company that's sponsoring the show. Check them out. They said they're in 76 stores. I don't know which ones. So,
Which 76?
I don't know which 76. Or if it's 76, the gas station. I don't know.
All right. That would bring Tom's question full circle. Somebody stripping balls at a 76 station be like, dude, I heard on the podcast you guys sell weed here now.
Come on. Where's the double vape cartridge? Give it to me.
I think you're at the wrong 76. Getting over to the other one.
Tyler, besides just being, you know, second cousins, always good to have you on the show.
Thank you guys for having me back. Yeah. Thanks for rescheduling, too. I was very sick when I was originally scheduled, so I appreciate the reschedule.
You've always been sick, dude.
Hell yeah.
Nice, bro.
Right? Nice. Total ripper. All right. From CTP for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.